but it's down to Cologne Ranger and Jeremy's Jet. Which of these will take the lion's share of $1 million? Jeremy's Jet on the inside, dead game, captures the Metro.
From the backfield is coming on. Moving pictures on the far outside. Reaches up for Mark McDonald to win the Breeders' Crown Open Mare Pace. It is moving pictures with a 9-1 stutter and 151.
Tying up on the end of it, trying to reach Mystical Sunshine. And it's Peaceful Way with her brilliant winning way to capture the
Armored Gladiator.
Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. This is your host, Norm Borg, from the studios at Rideau-Carlton Raceway. And, you know, people do vote with their wallets. And there was an example of this as recently as last week at a racetrack. Many of you probably haven't heard of it. In fact, I hadn't until I looked into it. It was Will Rogers Racino. It's a casino racetrack that's operated by the Cherokee Tribe, I believe it is, in Wyoming. Anyway, Horse Players Association of North America decided, okay, if we talk with our wallets, and I'm going to have one of the representatives explain what that means in a minute. If we talk with our wallets, what kind of an impact would we have? Well, let's ask one of the representatives. He is Jeff Platt. He is a horse player, to say the least. Spoke at the International Wagering Conference that Standardbred Canada put on last year. Jeff, welcome to Trot Radio.
Thank you.
Okay, so tell us what you guys did, just briefly, what the plan was.
Well, this particular plan was the idea of a HANA member named Mike Mayo. And his idea was to do what we call a pro-cot, which is the opposite of a boycott, where we get as many horse players together as we possibly can and agree to bet into one card or one race, with the idea being that we show the industry we actually can act cohesively as one and increase handle for whatever our target pro-cot card or race is.
Well, you certainly did that. Let's just go over the numbers here. What from one race yesterday at Will Rogers Downs, which one was it, the fifth, I believe?
It was race six.
Okay, sixth race. Their normal handle is $25,465. You bumped that up.
Yeah, we were just under $50,000 for
that
one race.
96% increase.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, it says here, according to your figures, mutual pool up 76%. Are you talking about the whole handle on the card because of this?
I'm looking at just that one race. Total on that one race was $49,860.
Yeah, you know what's really encouraging for players? You know, sometimes exactas are no longer the fun kind of gimmick bet that they used to be. But when you got a 147% increase in the exacta pool, it makes it worth betting.
We did. And that's not unusual because a lot of our members are what I would call hardcore, passionate horse players. And also keep in mind that Will Rogers Downs is not available on every ADW.
Right.
For whatever reason, Philly Phone Bet didn't carry it yesterday.
Well, you sure did make a message. A statement, I should say. So where do you go from here? I mean, you're going to target, I take it, more tracks. But
we're going to pick a race each week and just do this week in, week out for several weeks and see if we can't get the ball rolling and get more players involved.
What are you hoping to change? You spoke at the wagering conference last year. Yeah, with this newfound cohesiveness. Yeah, what are you hoping the tracks will do for you?
Four major areas. The first major area would be fracturing of track signals. We want every track signal made available to every ADW. If an ADW wants to carry a track signal, we believe they should be allowed to do so.
What is keeping them from doing that?
Remember last year during what we called the signal impasse, where if you were an ADW player, you couldn't bet certain track signals? For example, Churchill Downs couldn't carry its own track signal on its own ADW.
Right.
Hollywood Park, Jack Liebau, their president, couldn't simulcast his signal on his ADW, you bet. And players were frustrated. That was actually the catalyst that sparked us to form HANA.
So that's number one. Number two?
Number two would be drugs. In North America, there are a number of trainers who cheat. It's something that gives the sport a black eye to a lot of people that we feel could get involved in racing, would be racing fans. they have suspicions whether or not the game is on the up and up. And when trainers that cheat are caught with their fourth and fifth drug positive and they get a 30 or 60-day suspension, it gives the game a black eye.
Especially when a trainer gets his second or third life suspension.
Yeah. In other parts of the world, they don't stand for that.
No.
Race day medications in other parts of the world, the rules for that are quite different than they are in North America.
What about number three?
Number three would be lower takeout. This is a biggie.
It is.
I feel that the game of racing, the takeout, is not competitive with other forms of gambling.
Yeah, but the tracks would argue, look, we're just barely making it here. We've got to do this.
We're barely making it here. There have been a number of economic studies done by people much smarter than I am that indicate that there is a supply-demand elastic relationship between takeout and handle. When you drop takeout, there's an incentive for players to get involved, and handle goes up. When you raise the takeout, handle goes down.
So you want lower takeouts, obviously.
We want lower takeouts.
And number four?
Number four would be pool integrity. Have you ever seen the odds drop significantly during the running of a race?
Well, the understanding is there are no odds to be dropped in the middle of the race because all betting ceases.
All betting ceases. However, the tote system that they're using was created in the mid-1980s. It's based on decades-old technology, and it is slow, and it is not necessarily secure. There have been a number of documented instances where the pools have remained open after a race has gone off and betting is taking place in isolated instances after the bell.
Isn't that because the technology is not up to par? For example, you know, guys playing on a automatic betting machine, and this is an old trick in the standard bred betting game, and I've heard this from many people. A guy's sitting there at the machine watching the TV. He's got a horse that he likes that's got the five hole, let's say. He doesn't want to bet it if it doesn't get a good start, but if it does, he's going to chunk it in. There's usually a 2 or 3 second delay that will allow him to hit that button that says make the bet if he sees that five horse, for the sake of argument, is getting away well and securing a good spot. Is that part of the problem?
That is part of the problem, too. What you're referring to is called a cancel delay. And in some states, in the U.S., it's actually up to 15 seconds. So what you can do as a bettor, if you have an early speed horse, you can make your bet and you can be standing at that machine. And as the horses get set to break, you can slide your ticket right into the slot. And you'll be given an option to cancel, and you can actually watch your horse break. And if he breaks in the air or doesn't get away with the field, you can simply hit the yes button by touching the screen, and you've canceled your bet.
And that's something the participants in the sport itself can't do. I mean, a jockey can't say, wait a minute, I broke badly, I'm not in this race.
You don't get mulligans when you're right on the back of a horse.
Well, it sounds like you're building on something that will cause the powers that be to take note. And, you know, what you're asking for here are pretty reasonable things that we all want to see happen for the benefit of the business. Final question for Jeff Platt of Horse Players Association of North America. Hannah, what's the split on your players' harness as opposed to thoroughbred?
I would say it's about 75% thoroughbred.
Yeah.
Simply because I am one of the founders, and I'm a thoroughbred player.
Mm-hmm.
So I went after issues that plague the thoroughbred side of things.
Right.
However, standard bred issues they dovetail very nicely with thoroughbred.
Well, there are things that both breeds and types of racing could benefit from what you're asking for. We're going to be talking to your partner in this, Dean Towers, in just a moment. And we'll look forward to speaking to him. Hey, listen, Jeff, thank you for this. Best of luck with your continued pro cots, as you call them. What is the next track you're going to be going with?
Well, we're actually going to talk about that tonight.
Well, good luck with it.
Thank you.
Jeff Platt, and we'll be back with more Trot Radio. Welcome back to Trot Radio. We're talking about a movement by Horse Players Association of North America, otherwise known as HANA, representing horse players of both breeds, to try and get the racetracks to listen to what they'd like to see happen in the business. They're not asking for the moon, just some very sensible measures that have to be taken, both thoroughbred and standardbred racing. Let's go over to the big smoke, Tirana, and Dean Towers, who is a representative of the organization. Dean, welcome to Trot Radio.
Hi, Norm. Pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you with us. This Procot, as Jeff Platt referred to it, sure did have an impact on the pools at Will Rogers Downs.
It sure did. We were actually pretty happy. I thought back to the Ellis Park Pick 4. If you remember, I believe it was 2 years ago. It was slashed to 4%. Mm. And the first week or two, it really didn't, with heavy publicity, a lot of people couldn't bet into it with certain AWs and so on, but I think they bumped their first handle up about 10 grand, and this one, I think we did 20 to 25,000, a couple of horse players with a small website and an email list and, just working the internet. And we were really happy with that.
Well, a 96% increase. Now, this I would think, as you go forward, is going to give you, put you in a position of power to say to the racetracks and to say to the powers that govern racing, this is what we want. Certainly, those four issues that Jeff outlined, fractured track signals, clamping down on cheaters, lower takeouts and pool integrity, that's something that horse players and, even owners and trainers have been asking for.
Absolutely. There's actually a lot of common ground. You can speak to, I'm a horse owner as well, and you can speak to trainers, and they don't like a lot of the things that go on with the penalty phase. There's a lot of smaller issues where they get branded a cheater. It's crazy. So the smaller issues, we need education on that. The larger issues, let's face it, there's some bad people, very few, but there's some bad people, and we have to attack that. And the community wants that as well, so that's good. The tracks, with slots, a lot of people have said they just forget about racing, but, Georgian Downs works hard.
Oh, yeah.
Woodbine does some things that are very, very pro-customer and pro-racing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tracks around there. I see Marty Adler comment sometime on Standardbred Canada about Windsor.
Yeah.
He wants that place to grow, and we do as well.
Sure.
It's very strange to me that if you walk into Walmart, you don't, as a customer, you don't care if they make a profit.
<They're> less.
But horse players want the tracks to do well. They want the people that work in the industry to do well.
Oh, yeah.
They want handles to grow. It's their game, too. And I think that's why you see some passion on this front.
Now, let me ask you something. Eventually, as this thing grows, and there's every indication that it will, this is really going to help, just from a dollar standpoint, really going to help the industry, because you can direct guys to bet so much at this track, so much at that, so much at the other. It's going to have a real impact because it's 100 cent dollars going in at a time, right?
I agree. I think, hopefully over time, we're discussing now on how to get it to grow and where to go next and what to do, but we still got, I think we had 15 or 20 signups today with people saying, wow, it's the first I heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that can grow and grow and grow. So when you're, if we threw around 25,000 yesterday, I can imagine what 75 or 100 or 200 might do if that movement grows.
Well, it's very foreseeable because, let's face it, if you decide to go to a Woodbine that is available to almost everybody, that you're going to have a lot more people laying down money.
Absolutely. That was one of the big problems. I think TVG's the largest ADW in the States, and they didn't have it. The Myra Tracks didn't have Will Rogers and a few other things.
You're starting slow, but in a way you're starting big. That's a big statement. So, yeah, good luck on this thing. I really like what it is you're trying to do, and I would find it hard to criticize your motives for doing it. It's not like you're trying to hold the industry at ransom. You just want the industry to get better.
Absolutely. That is, everybody in that organization loves this business. From a racehorse owner, tons of them are racehorse owners. We've got backstretch workers. We've got bettors. It's amazing to see so many people that think the same way.
What do you think? Let me ask you this, and this is my, I'm going to tell you my feeling and see whether or not, maybe I'm just out in left field. When I see the kinds of handles that a track can attract on a given day, You know, it doesn't have to be their feature race of the year. It can just be because they're promoting certain things, they're doing certain things right, and they can draw one heck of a crowd with a heck of a handle. It tells me that the love for the sport and the interest in our sport hasn't waned. We're just not doing enough as a sport to keep those people with us.
I would agree with some of that. Let's face it, people have left for other games. The game's very expensive to play. People have a tough time winning. They've moved on. But I agree completely. I look at the Australia experience. You know, they took their uncashed ticket money. They have a cap on takeouts of 16%.
Mm-hmm.
What they did there was they took any money over the 16. They put it into a zero takeout pool. They made it a pick four. They promoted across the entire country. They get celebrities to make pick four picks and put it up on websites. They have little YouTube commercials, so on and so forth. Promote that one bet. And even in, I think the harness racing one did $250,000 or $300,000 Australian dollars.
Wow.
And the thoroughbred ones, I think they ran one on one of their big meets for a week. And one pool averaged over $3 million, Norm. That's a lot of money in a pick four pool. They thought they offered big bettors low takeouts, and they offered the casual fan a chance to play into it with, you know, these celebrities and other people that are doing the public picking. I think that's what Sam Walton would do at Walmart in 1962, right?
Yeah, he certainly would have.
I don't think we do enough of that.
No, you're right. We, as North Americans, invented this game, but we could sure learn a lot from Europe and Australia, New Zealand, about how to market this game now.
There's systemic problems with it. You know, I always thought that Woodbine on Sundays, when they were running on Sundays, I would always hope, you know, gosh, if they could offer a neat bet like that, you know, because they were complaining that people weren't betting it on Sundays. But for them, our systemic problems of, you know, we're using a 1970 and 1980 way to deliver bets, and we've got deals, that, simulcast deals that are written for pre-internet and so on, where they can't just turn off a switch and do a 5% superfecta pool or whatever without jumping through hoops.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Norm.
Dean Towers of HANA, Horse Players Association of North America, thanks for being with us.
Pleasure.
That's it for this edition of Trot Radio. As always, we welcome your comments. Post yours on the comment space on the Trot Radio webpage at standardbredcanada.ca. Trot Radio, a presentation of Standardbred Canada. Technical producer Chris Knowles, brought to you by Boer Communications.